Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Denver Broncos. And actually, I shared a little bit of this in the Analytics of Dynasty GroupMe chat when I was doing some of the work on this. Actually, mildly optimistic about Drew Locke. Mild. We're going to go with mild. I don't want to overstate it, but there's, I think, some reason for a little bit of optimism. So we'll see in terms of what I think the big takeaway is in terms of their outlook. Obviously, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater. That is a potential source of concern for Drew Locke. But I do think there is some reason to be optimistic about Drew Locke. And so I'll sort of get into that a little bit. I think that's the big takeaway with him. You know, we'll see sort of how that goes ultimately in terms of what opportunity he gets. But I think there are a couple of takeaways you could look and say, hey, that's interesting. And maybe that's just me justifying my pick of him in a recent startup draft. But here we are. So 61.2% pass rate, 21st in the league. Yards per attempt, 6.6. That's 24th. Touchdown rate, 25th. That's 3.8%. Sack rate, 5.2. It's right about middle of the pack. Scramble rate, about middle of the pack again, 15th. 4.2%. So that's all fine. Play action, here's a little bit of the concern with me. Play action, 21.9%, that's 25th. So you want to see that higher. You want to see high 20s into the 30s, ideally. 7.8 yards per attempt on play action, 6.3 yards per attempt on non-play action, 23.6% improvement on yards per attempt on play action versus non-play action. It's actually, again, middle of the pack there, 15th. In terms of the improvement. Red zone rushing rate is 44.4%, so 25th highest, so again, bottom seven or so. 22.9% of the red zone rushes were actually quarterback rushes. That's 10th highest in the league, so there is some running element, some quarterback running element to their offense last year. I think it's a mild case of concern for Javonte Williams. Drew Locke under pressure last year. So 19th most pressured on basically a third of his throws, 3.6 yards per attempt, 39th out of 39th. That is a stat that's variant year to year. We've talked about this. It's less sticky than some of the clean pocket stuff. So I'm willing to discount that a little bit. Clean pocket, 7.9 yards per attempt, 16th out of 39. So I sort of look at that and say, hey, listen, if he can sort of get a little bit of a bounce back, some of the smaller sample size about the pressure throws, he can sort of get a bounce back there. Like, there's actually some source of optimism in terms of how he did from a clean pocket. Again, that's something that I would point to and say, hey, listen, there's some optimism that we could have for him. Some of the stuff too, like you look at some of the completion percentage over expectation stuff, like there were some drops that he was hurt with. So just, I do think there's a level of optimism that you can have about him as quarterback 35 in a startup draft, for example. And there's a non-zero chance that he actually turns into a starter. So play action, 24% of his throws, again, 24th in the league, 1.6 yards per attempt improvement. That was actually 21st. So again, relatively neutral in terms of that. Denver's pass blocking unit graded 22nd in terms of PFF's grade last year. So again, there's room for improvement. They lost a couple of their right tackles who basically played about 90% or so of their snaps. They do return some positives, I guess, and some questions. So Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, top five in terms of PFF grade. That's really good. Dalton Reisner, 23rd. He's their left guard in terms of PFF grade. and Graham Glasnow 32nd in terms of PFF grade. Those are the guards. So that's three above baseline, you know, above median to very, very good starters. So that's optimism. Cushenberry, their center, was a third-round pick last year, 35th in terms of PFF grade for centers. I believe that was out of 39 qualifiers, so not great. Bobby Massey, their new right tackle, that he was brought in. They also brought in Cameron Fleming, who's more of like a swing guy. Massey, 42nd in terms of PFF pass blocking grade last year. The splits in terms of positions, 26th in terms of running back routes run. It's 0.78 per dropback. 0.11 targets per dropback, that's 27th. 0.08 receptions per dropback, that's 27th. 0.44 yards per dropback, 31st. So you can see some of the reason why they may have went out and got a running back. Struggled in the receiving game there at the running back position. Wide receivers, 2.71 routes per dropback, that's 17th. 0.49 targets per dropback, that is 17th. 0.27 receptions per dropback, that's 30th. And then 3.95 yards per dropback, that is 22nd. So some of the struggles in terms of catching the ball, but again, more of a, they basically performed almost on pace with the routes and the targets. So maybe a little bit more of a deeper aspect to the receiving game last year could be one of the reasons why that is. The tight end position, notable, Noah Fant, Albert Okwunnen, 1.08 routes per dropback, that's 9th in the league. 0.23 targets per dropback, that's 4th. 0.16 receptions per dropback, that's 5th. And then 1.59 yards per dropback, that's 10th. So again, more tilting towards some tight end volume, which is really good considering one of the concerns with Fant was, hey, listen, like they've got Sutton, they keep bringing in supporting cast members, and Fant still produces. So you kind of like that. He finished as tight end 11 last year, 17.5% of their targets. So good number, 89 targets there. And checks the box, 1.64 yards per route run. Again, very, very good. So I like him, and we're just hoping for a little bit more, you know, some more volume, some more throwing volume, be nice, and get some touchdown breaking his way. That'd also be good as well. In terms of the receivers, Jerry Jeudy, 110 targets, 21.6% of their target share last year, 1.66 yards per route run, 1.41 points per target. He finished 46th at the position. I will note some of the, you know, some of his stats. I actually wrote up something for Jerry Jeudy. Football guys, he was 6th in terms of air yards at 1536, 18th in terms of ADOT at 13.6. Of his contested catches, he only caught 27.6, which was 94th in the league. Of his targets, only 62.8% of them were actually catchable. That's 105th at the position. So some of the dings in terms of yards per route run, yeah, he had some drops, sort of that stuff too. I think there's some growth potential there, and I think it's probably a lot, and I think ultimately one of the big questions I have about him is, how is there enough volume with Sutton coming back? Are you going to see something more than 22% of target share? Because if not, with the structure of the offense, I'm not sure how helpful he's going to ultimately be. And if he doesn't do it this year, you know, that base rate really starts to decline, and some pretty sizable concerns are there with that. So I think he's better than he was last year. Ultimately, is he a big time difference maker? I'm not sure. Again, if maybe you're holding out for, maybe it's not Drew Lock, maybe it's Deshaun Watson, maybe it's Aaron Rodgers in a future iteration, right? That could be a potential uptick for him. I'm just not sure with this current offensive construct and passing game volume if they are going to have enough there, given all the other surrounding assets that they have. But 110 targets as a rookie is not nothing to sneeze at. So it ain't nothing. Tim Patrick, 74 targets. He's basically being written off this year in terms of projections. So I think that's something to maybe consider there. 14.5% of the targets, 1.71 yards per route run. Finished 43rd, so actually finished ahead of Judy. So that's notable. 2.18 points per target. So you would expect some regression there as well. KJ Hamler, 54 targets, 10.6% of their target percentage, 1.17 yards per route run. That's a disappointment. 88th in terms of where he finished. Yeah, we'll see there. Gordon did finish 13th in terms of positional finishes last year. So again, I don't think he's bad. Just pointing that out. Just to think that Javonte Williams is going to come in and be the guy over Melvin Gordon, just be careful with that. And if you sort of go back and look at some of the prior ones, for example, so if we were to look at maybe, Mixon, for example, when he came in and was sort of, you know, quote, buried, or Nick Chubb, they weren't buried by guys that were better, right? Jonathan Taylor as well, you know, some of the other guys, J.K. Dobbins, right, buried by Ingram, Taylor buried by Marlon Mack. He's buried very liberally in that sentence, but I think Melvin Gordon, of all of those players that were the incumbent starter, I think Melvin Gordon's probably the best of them. Of some of the recent ones are way up there in terms of some of the recent ones. So just be careful in terms of Javonte Williams thinking it's week one. If it's an injury or something, that's a common thread, which is you see an injury to a starter and then they never get the job back. That's, I think, more than it's just outright gonna, I think that's more of the Javonte Williams angle than outright just taking Melvin Gordon's job. So just a word of note there. Again, we're not talking a ton about the running game in this series. This is a passing game series, but just I think that bears pointing out. Some projections. Lock at 33rd, 9.8 games started is the Football Guys projection. Composite projection there. So I think that moves if he moves up if he gets a starting job. So just bear that in mind. Bridgewater, 34th in terms of projections, 8.6 games projected for him. So again, those are both right. But I think you're probably going to see, I'm hoping that you see a lock opportunity is really what I'm hoping, because either he's going to do it or he's not. And is Bridgewater, the question I would have, and I think this is an important takeaway for Dynasty, is Teddy Bridgewater going to be the starting quarterback for you the next time you're a contender in a division where you have Justin Herbert? And I've expressed some questions about Herbert, but that's a story for their podcast. You have Patrick Mahomes. Heck, you've got Derek Carr. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to lead you to a winning record in that division? Probably not. Is Drew Lock? I'm not sure. Also probably not. But I think that there's a non-zero chance where I think Bridgewater, we kind of know what he is. And it's a quarterback that you don't really want to invest in long term. You might as well rule it out with Drew Lock. Right? That would sort of be my angle on him. You might as well, if he loses his job in preseason, he doesn't come ready to play or whatever. But if it's a close call, go with the guy that conceivably has it in his range of outcomes. We kind of know that Bridgewater doesn't. We've seen teams move on. We saw the Saints just not attempt to keep him. And, were there other reasons for that? Yeah, sure. But financial and stuff like that, they have a funny way of making things work. So, and, you know, we've seen him move on from Minnesota. We've seen him move on from the Saints. We've seen Carolina do that now. I mean, we're on to several teams into this experience with him. I think it probably can speak to us in some way. Drew Lock, like, there's things there that you can pull out and say, hey, this is actually pretty good. Like, there's some good stuff here. He needs to grow. But I think that there's some potential there for him beyond what I think Bridgewater has. Some other projections here. Sutton, 34th. Judy, 35th. KJ Hamler, 86th at the position. When you actually look at Fant as well, he is projected as tight end 9 in a cluster there within, about a point a game. He ranges, that's about 5th or 6th, is pretty close to that. So he's at 164, 174 is tight end 7, 192. So again, now you're looking at, 30 or so, just a little bit less than 30 points, about 2 points per game. That would put him in the range of, tight end 5, tight end 6 in there. So I think those are plenty attainable. It's actually a pretty low-ish touchdown number there for him. For example, Mark Andrews, less reception projection at Football Guys and almost 4 more touchdowns projected. So just keep those things in mind, like that a couple of those swing either way and all of a sudden Fant could post a really high season. And I think that there's room to grow. So that's ultimately it. I mean, I cautious optimism would sort of be what I would say. I don't think that this team is dead by any means. But do they have concerns at the quarterback position? Absolutely. Is there a 90% shot that they don't have a long-term starter on their roster? Yep. I think that the 10% there, that is probably Drew Lock. I mean, it's maybe even more than that, but you sort of get the idea. I think that that's Drew Lock, and we'll see. We'll see. And if ultimately they fail, like, they should kind of do what the Eagles are doing this year. Like, give him a runway, let him see what happens, let him fall on his face. If he falls on his face, like, that's you, then you know. And that's exactly what the Eagles are doing with Jalen Hurts. And obviously Drew Lock's a different player, but I think that that's be an interesting way to go about it and potentially team build. So teams don't have the stomach for that. Ultimately, I'd feel fine. Like, that's you're not going to know if you don't try. And if it fails in training camp and Bridgewater's your starter, like, that gives you the answer. But any ties, I think you got to break in favor of the guy that's got something long-term in his range of outcomes, and that'd be Lock. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.